If you have your Bible with you this morning, I would love for you to turn to the fourth chapter of the book of Hebrews. We're going to start there. Get through a journey. I just want to impart something to you that I saw so clear in my spirit this morning as I was praying. And it's just wonderful to hear from heaven. Aren't you glad when you hear from heaven? It makes all the difference, you know. The world can be on top of you. Circumstances can be on top of you. All kind of things can be on top of you. But when you hear from heaven, the release it brings is such a wonderful thing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's turn to the 16th verse of Hebrews 4. And I would just love, I actually grew up spiritually reading the King James Bible. And it's a really difficult Bible to read because it's all thee, thou, thus, wherefore, hereunto, and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, we don't talk like that anymore unless there's something severely wrong with us. But there's some things, there's some scriptures as a result that I just speak. They're in my Bible in the New American. That's what I use, the New American Standard. But in my spirit, it's like they're in the King James still. And this is one of those. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in a time of need. It's just such a wonderful, wonderful passage of scripture. And I think one of the things that the body of Christ, one of the injustices that the body of Christ has done, particularly to our generation, is that they have used a word there called grace that we don't use in any other context. But the word grace in the Greek, the word charis, was used in context all the time. If you went to the marketplace in ancient Greek times, and obviously the New Testament's written in Greek, if you went to the marketplace in ancient Greek times and they were just closing up and they had one spare chicken going and the guy wanted to close his stall and so he knocked off 80% off the price of the chicken and you went up there and you were the one to spot the bargain and you bought the thing. When you went home and told your relatives that you bought this chicken for like 80% off, they would have said, wow, charis. In other words, the way that you'd use it now is like, oh, the gods are favoring you. In fact, if you look at Luke chapter 2, verse 52, and we'll go back to the New American now if we can, Luke 2, 52, because I want to talk to you today about the favor of God, but I want to talk particularly in the context of favor with a purpose. Favor with a purpose. We have to ascertain, firstly, that God favors us. We have to understand what that means. And that word, favor, is the word charis. So, for instance, in Luke chapter 2, verse 52, when it's talking about Jesus himself, it says, and Jesus kept increasing in wisdom and stature and favor with God and man. You look up that word in the Greek, it's the exact same word, charis. And unless you translate that word charis as favor, then what we know in our generation as grace is actually some sort of sloppy excuse for mercy. And we've got to know because the grace is a proactive substance. We've lost certain things by translating the Greek word for patience. Because what we understand as patience is like it's a passive thing. I waited patiently for the Lord, so I folded my arms and just waited until he showed up. And of course, in that kind of context, because there's no exercise of faith, often he doesn't show up. The word patience is the Greek word literally abiding under. So patience in that context is that when you're at the gym and there's 20 kilos on each pad plus the bar, so you're under a 60 kilo weight and you are holding it there because your trainer has said, hold it, hold it, hold it. That is abiding under. you get the difference? Now, it's exactly the same way when it comes to the word charis. Charis, favor, is a proactive substance. It's the kind of substance that comes on you to enable you to be a blessing. The favor of God is always with a purpose. Can you imagine if Jesus Christ himself understood what was happening to him in Luke chapter 2:52? Now he's 12 years old at the time that scripture is coming out. And Jesus kept increasing in wisdom and stature and favor with God and man. Can you imagine if he kept that favor to himself? Where would we be right now? It was his, so he could do what he liked with it. But you see, unless we do something with the favor of God on our lives, then, you know, it can be quite a lonely, quite a selfish existence. Turn to your neighbor and tell him, favor is always with a purpose. It's really, really important that we understand, because this substance called favor, the Bible tells us we can increase in it because Jesus did himself. Jesus is our example. Amen. So the favor that's on me today doesn't necessarily have to be the amount of favor that's on me tomorrow. Tomorrow, somebody could favor me even more. And if there's one thing I carry in my life, it's a testimony around the whole planet, it's favor. And I noticed something. Favor's contagious. I remember sometimes, you know, I would be just in the presence of God. I'd be preparing for church, and I would just, you know, I'd be soaking in the bath or meditating on the word or anything like that, just getting into the presence of God. And I think, wow, God, your presence is so awesome. You know, I could have stayed there and had Paolo's tabernacle right there in my bathroom. I could have fellowshiped with the Lord. But you see, that favor is for a purpose. And I realized something about favor. The favor of God on my life is transmittable into other lives to activate them into their favor. But you see, and we have so badly translated that word into grace that we've missed it entirely in the New Testament. I went through my New Testament and I scratched out everywhere that the word grace was written, and I put the word favor there. My goodness me, the amount of scripture that it changed for my life. When Paul says in Philippians, he talks about you are in Philippians chapter 1, he says you are partakers of my favor. In other words, people can partake or can partner in my favor. This thing that I carry on my life called the favor of God, the charis of God, which I can increase in and grow in wisdom and stature as a result, grow in favor with God and man, that thing is transmittable into other lives. They can partake or partner with it and grow themselves in that same favor. Hallelujah, it's contagious. I love it. If there's one thing that's on my life, it's the favor of God. Undoubtable, absolutely undoubtable, you see, but it's not there just for me. I remember when I first got into church planting in August of 1993. I was in Docklands with Peter Hazan. Hey, Dugbe man. And for those of you that know Pete the plumber. And so I was down there helping him plant a church that was an experiment from Kensington Temple in West London there. And I got there and I just said, look, anything I can do, I'm happy to do it. And as I was driving down there, I had a company car that was provided to me by the bank I used to work for. And as I was driving down there, I really felt in my spirit that God wanted to use my car as a taxi. Just to get people, you know, to and from the place. Because Docklands back then, I don't know what it's like now, but some parts of it was hard to get to. The Isle of Dogs. I mean, may as well have been Timbuktu in terms of public transport. And so I went there. I went down to Docklands. Now, at the time, I lived in Tottenham. Hey, mommy. And so I used to drive down to the Isle of Dogs. One of the people that went there used to live in West London, Ladbroke Grove. So I would drive from Tottenham down to the Isle of Dogs, then across over to Ladbroke Grove, and then another one lived in Earl's Court, and then I'd drive back to Tottenham. like every week. I mean, it was the oddest kind of thing I had to do. But I just felt, you know what? The favor that has provided me this company car, I can't keep it to myself. That favor is with a purpose. And I decided that I would live that way. So when we moved to just south of St. Albans in the year 2000, we had a 3-bedroom house. And Benj and Abby used to live in the one room, which was hilarious. We used to have one of those cot monitors, and we'd listen to their conversation when they were both in their cots. It was hilarious. Some of it was so funny. And I can't tell you what, though, because they'll beat me up on the way home. But trust me, it was very funny. And but then we had a spare bedroom, because Joey and I were in one bedroom, Benj and Abby were in another spare bedroom. What's that? That's favor, but with a purpose. So Roro came and lived with us. And because, I don't know, there's something about when God enlarges your heart, the stuff that you have, the stuff that you carry, the stuff that you own, it's no longer for you. You can't help but just what's that? Partakers of our favor. I wish if there was one thing I could go back a couple of hundred years and get rid of that word grace altogether, because it's so misunderstood. Favor is favor. I would really encourage you, just get a marker. God won't kill you. In fact, let me show you. Which camera is the best to do? Probably camera 4. Let me just show you. I don't know if you can see there on Facebook Live. Can you see all the notes on my Bible there? I mean, some of it you can hardly read it because of the amount of notes that's on there. Because when I hear something like that, I wanna act on it. God won't kill you for writing on your Bible. He won't kill you for crossing out the word grace and writing the word what it should be, favor. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, it says, by the favor of God, I am what I am. I used to look in the mirror. I suffered a lot of self-hatred as a kid. My ears were big. They used to call me jug ears and FA Cup and everything like that. In fact, it was the only FA Cup Arsenal ever won back then was me. And I used to hate my hands. My hands were like huge. Look at the size of my hands. I mean, I could lay hands on you and you go down whether God's on me or not. You understand? I mean, it's like, you know, I could wrestle you to the ground with that. But then you look at, what's that boxer fella who used to live in Wembley? The boxer. Huh? Joshua. Anthony Joshua. He's got 15-inch circumference in his fists. 15-inch. Mine's about 12 and a half. I thought my hands were big until I saw Anthony Joshua. Now, I can't punch like the dude, but my hands are, you know. And so it's like all those kind of things. Then I read in my scripture that by the favor of God, I am what I am. People can think, oh, I'm too tall, I'm too short, I'm too fat, I'm too thin, I'm too black, I'm too white, I'm too poor, I'm too rich, I'm too anything. You can make 1,000 excuses, or you can stand up and declare, by the favor of God, I am what I am. Your life will make sense. Your life will make sense. Things that I had to go through as a younger person didn't make any sense until I started to confess that by the favor of God, I am what I am. Because you never know. You never know what's going to come in handy later on in life. I remember, oh my gosh, I was working for my cousin in Ireland and I was peddling. Now, you've got to understand something about the west of Ireland, right? The next stop is the Atlantic Ocean. The next stop from the west of Ireland is America. And that wind blows hard. So when the rain comes down, it doesn't come down like that. It goes sideways in your face. And I had a bike, no word of a lie, that I bought for a tenner. And it had obviously been crashed because, I mean, it wasn't straight. So the wheels weren't in alignment. The wheels were like that. So I didn't have to put it on against a wall. It would stand up by itself. And when you turn left, it goes up and then down. And when you turn right, it goes up and then down. Anyone been on a bike like that? Oh, my goodness. And I was working for my cousin across the other side of Galway town. So I had to cycle everywhere. It was terrible. It was hideous. The rain would come at you sideways, like 40 mile an hour wind. and you're pedaling up against this wind. And then he's teaching me, my cousin was teaching me to do DIY. We were making bedrooms and kitchens and all that kind of stuff. And I was using tools and everything like that. And you know what? Like, none of that made sense. It just felt like just coincidental kind of stuff until we got this building. And then I thought, wow, you know what? I can revive all that old knowledge that I had, that my cousin taught me. I can put this thing to work, and I can do something here for God. That favor is now favor with a purpose. And I went up, and this is no word of a lie. You know the cafe? I did that all myself. Yeah, laid the floor, everything. It's good, isn't it? Hey, mommy. You guys watching by Facebook, when you come to the cafe, you've got to see the workmanship on the cafe. And upstairs in the lounge, if anyone's ever been up to the minister's lounge where we keep guests and everything like that, I did that whole room myself as well. Hallelujah. It's favor with a purpose. Glory be to God forever. Now, look at what it says. It says, let us therefore draw near with boldness to the throne of grace, to the throne of favor. What is it? It's the throne of favor, that we may obtain mercy and favor in a time of need. You ever need a favor from God? Well, that's where to get it from. And you can't come in, oh, but Father, I'm such a wretched old Egypt of a lunatic. I'm a no good, dirty. No, it says, let us come boldly. Boldly. This is how I saw it in my spirit this morning. I loved it. I saw a dark room. And I saw a big, like, entrance room into a throne. Now, this isn't what heaven looks like, right? I mean, there's angels the size of jumbo jets flying around the throne of God. So this is how God was showing it to me now so that I could convey it to you. But I walked into this room, and it's like a dark room. And it's kind of lit so you can see stairs going up to the thing, but it's very imposing and very grand. And there's a throne, and there's one sitting on the throne, right? But just as I'm looking at this thing, I see this sign flashing on and off. You know these neon signs where you see that, and then there's words there right above the thing. And it's flashing on and off, and it says, favor available here. I thought, wow. Gosh, it's ominous. It's a big thing to go before the throne of God's favor. But when you need favor, there's no other place to be. When you need that job, when you need to get your kids' minds straight, when you need to find that partner for your life, that other half that you know is they're out there somewhere, but you don't know where they are, and you know, you have to link me up. I need that favor on my life. I need favor to get married. And then when you're married, Father, I need favor to stay married. Hallelujah. Amen. Yeah, marriage is like eating a cheese sandwich for 16 years. That's just the way it is. That's just the way it is. Anyway, you'll know. Hallelujah. Yes. Praise God. What do you... It's like eating a vegan salad then, for the sake of my vegan associate pastor at the front. But that's what it's like. And you need... When you need favor, you need it. Father, I need... You know, I've learned to pray this way. I've learned to pray this way, particularly for people who I love who are sick. Father, I need a favor. Heal them, Lord, as a favor to me. Heal them, Lord, as a favor to me. Wow. Yeah, why? It's favor. It comes from the throne anyway. It's nothing special to do with me. It's just I have got faith in the favor of God. I've got faith in the favor of God. Yeah. Some people say, they say, you know, Pastor, we've watched your life. In fact, somebody told me I was preaching for a certain denomination up in the Midlands. And one guy, I mean, it's a big denomination. One guy said, yeah. He said, you know, you may not know this. He says, but we've been watching you for years. And what you're achieving, we still don't know how you're doing it. Yeah. We still don't know how you're doing it. Favor. It's no secret. It's right there. But you see, we have to put this thing to work. How can we have faith in the favor of God if they've translated it grace? Can you see the injustice that's been done? By the favor of God, I am what I am. I know I can do this. But you see, this favor isn't just to make us look good. It's with a purpose. The favor of God on our lives is for a purpose. And I just want to look at a couple of bits to do with that. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. I want you to see something. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, and we'll look at verse number 8. Having so fond an affection for you, we were well pleased to impart to you not only the gospel of God, but also our own lives, because you had become very dear to us. What's he saying here? He's saying that there was something about you that caused us not only to preach to you, but to take you in and to cover you with our wings. You remember when Jesus said, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, killer of the prophets, how I wish that I could have gathered you as a hen gathers her chicks beneath her wings. There's something about it that God can give you wings, that people will just come to you and they can flock and nest under your wings. And this is what he's talking about here. He said, listen, we didn't only just preach to you. He said, but we gave our very own lives to you. We were imparting some of the favor on our lives into your life because you had become very dear to us. In other words, this favor that we carry was for a purpose, so that you could come in, receive of it, become all that God has destined you to be and achieve it for yourself, so that you then grow up to become the hen that has the chicks under your wings. Praise God. Are you getting this? Turn to your neighbor and tell him, favor is for a purpose. Ephesians chapter 5, we're going to look at verse number 10. Ephesians 5, verse number 10. It says here, trying to learn what is pleasing to the Lord. This is one of the secrets of carrying the favor of God. Is that, you know, like, we're not perfect. None of us is perfect. The Bible says the righteous falls 7 times a day. It's just, if you think you're perfect, you just haven't found out where you're falling in the eyes of God. That's all it is. Trying to learn what is pleasing to the Lord. So there are certain things that please the Lord, and there are certain things that don't please him. So if we learn what pleases him, the Bible talks in the book of Titus, it talks about adorning the gospel. The word adorn means to decorate. You know the way, ladies, you decorate your face and your ears and like earrings and this thing and we won't go there. Okay. I'm in enough trouble already. Praise Jesus. But you see, that's adorning. You are adorning yourself. And the Bible talks about adorning the gospel. What does that mean? It means make the gospel look appealing. Make the gospel look as though it's something worth having. I remember in the early days of Harvest, there was a guy, a huge guy, who had one of our Harvest t-shirts. I mean, he was massive, never used to wash, he was out like a barrel, and then like he's wearing this t-shirt saying Harvest Church. I said, dude, you know what? I'm going to pay this guy just not to wear the t-shirt. Why? Because it was the opposite of adorning the gospel. Do you see what I mean? That's why we look after our life. You know, there's an outward show to display an inner show. Do you understand? It's very, very important. You're going around looking like last week's trash, blah, blah, blah. You know, like, what is that about? That's not adorning the gospel. No, this favor we have. I'm looking on the front row here. You guys are shining. The further back it gets. No, I'm kidding. That we might adorn the gospel. Look at that. Look, not, oh, thank you guys that you found it. Not pilfering. In other words, don't be like a thief. Don't dodge stuff. Since road tax, since now you can't see it, but the odd time, the odd harvester used to not pay their road tax. Don't worry. Hallelujah. Not pilfering, but showing all good faith so that they will adorn the doctrine of our God and Savior in every respect. Adorning the doctrine of our God and Savior. That's decorating it. The way you have a Christmas tree and then you decorate the tree. The tree on its own, you know, it's enough. It's a, you know, some people say, oh, it's a symbol of Christ's cross and the wood growing up and blah, blah, blah. Of course, it was a pagan thing. But we adorn our Christmas trees, put baubles on them and all that kind of thing, because the tree on its own would look a bit bare, look a bit barren, a bit scant. And that's the way sometimes that the people, when they receive the gospel, they don't know what they have. I didn't know what I had when I first picked up a Bible. You turn to your Matthew chapter 1, verse 1, and it's all about so-and-so begat so-and-so, and Beelzebub begat Coranabub, and you think, brother, do you see what I mean? Like, it takes a while, doesn't it? Dude, I wouldn't part. I said to the Lord the other day, I said, this is my most valuable possession. Everything I got in life and ministry, I got it from this word. And I know if I have this word, if it's all the rest is taken, I can get it back. Hallelujah to Jesus forever. Praise God. Now look at this. 1 Corinthians 15, verse number 10. 1 Corinthians 15, 10. This is one of my favorite ones. I don't know if we can change the actual words on the Bibles or whether they're sealed in our thing. But you know, it might be a good exercise to just go through the word grace, even on our system, and just call it what it is, favor. By the favor of God, I am what I am, and his favor towards me did not prove vain. It was a purpose. It was for a purpose. But I labored even more than all of them. Yet not I, but the favor of God within me. You know, when you tap the favor of God, life, ministry, service, giving, raising people up, releasing them into their destiny, it's easy because it's no longer you doing it. It's the favor of God in you. It's like the difference between going on a normal petrol engine or going on a turbo engine. You know, when that turbo kicks in, anyone driven a proper turbo, like a Porsche turbo or a Ferrari, happy Tommy. Hallelujah to Jesus. There's a certain time when you've got your foot on that accelerator. It's like, vroom, vroom. But then you push and it goes, vroom. Well, that vroom bit, that's the turbo. That's when it's kicking from me to favor in me. And you can go, do you remember those old cars like a Triumph Spitfire and they had an overdrive button? You remember the overdrive button? And it would push it into a low gear and off you go. Hallelujah. My new car, I'm calling it in by the favor of God. I felt a release after Prophet Kathy told my son off for believing God. I mean, for me believing God for a Range Rover. Let him have the car, even if it's an old man's car. Do you remember that prophetic word? That was so pinpoint, that was scary. That was conversations that me and Benji have had in my car when it's just me, Benji, and God in the car. And I didn't even know God was there. Whew! Praise Jesus. The favor of God is with a purpose. Now, let me throw this in, just in case you're believing God for something that is impossible. I want to show you, in the light of our year of Jubilee, and I'll close with this, the light of the year of Jubilee that we are in, just an amazing, amazing scripture. Oh, gosh, after saying all that, I hope I can find it, because I had it in, yeah, it is. It's Jeremiah 39. I marked it with my little tag thing. You know, when I first got saved, I thought this was to carry your Bible round. Imagine. I thought it was a string. And I felt, because it was purple, I felt like a priest. Every time I touch it, it's like, oh, hallelujah. Wow. I'm anointed. I've got a string on my Bible. Glory to Jesus. Look at this now. I just want to like rewind the tape a bit before we get into this particular scripture. And tell you what's happened to the children of Israel, because they're on a journey with God. And basically the journey is this. The children of Israel are held in captivity. They've become a mighty nation. They're in Egypt and they've served Pharaoh, 400 years, something like that. And they're oppressed. They cry out to God. God sends a deliverer, Moses. they whine and whinge a bit to Moses. So they go in the wilderness. God waits 40 years for them all to die because he hates whining and whinging. And then he raises up Joshua. Joshua enters into the promised land. They fight their way through and they establish what becomes the nation of Israel. And then they backslide a bit. They get easy in life, etc., etc. And they become oppressed again by their enemies around about. Then they cry out to the Lord. The Lord sends a deliverer. And the whole cycle happens again. And Israel gets delivered of its oppression. Then they kind of backslide a bit again. They say, we want a king, we want a king. So he gives them a king, Saul. And then that all ends up as a heap of terribility or whatever you'd call it. And up comes this little guy, David. And David kills this oppressor guy, this Philistine called Goliath. And then under David's reign, Israel prospers, the Bible says, until, you know, the gold of the streets was like, it was like sand. And there was just such wealth and such blessing. When they dedicated the temple of the Lord, God was so close to his people at that time that the priests couldn't even stand up to minister. The power of God was so strong. And then they grew and grew. And then Solomon's son, Rehoboam, there was a big split in the kingdom that was torn in two, and they were fighting each other for some time, and they just basically backslid, seeking all kinds of other gods. Their kings went into all kinds of nonsense and witchcraft and Baal worship and all that kind of stuff. And as a result, Babylon, the kingdom of Babylon, comes in and basically oppresses the nation of Israel. Up comes a prophet called Jeremiah saying, listen, you guys are going to go into captivity because you've missed the Lord and you are just in trouble. There's a big problem coming your way, and his name is Nebuchadnezzar. And he has a great big Babylonian empire, huge thing. And it's just going to basically overrun you. You're going to be torn down, etc., etc. And Jeremiah prophesies this thing. And he says, you're going to go into captivity 70 years, one for each year of the punishment that you left the Lord, etc. And Israel say, you wait and see what happens. We've got other prophets that say this, that, and the other. Thus says the Lord, Israel will be blessed, etc. And he says, no, it's going to come. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. And it happened. And they get taken off into captivity. The Bible says that Jerusalem was burned, that they took away the treasures of the house of the Lord. And this great temple that Solomon had built to the glory of the Lord becomes burned with fire, and basically the whole thing is just reduced to a heap of rubble. The king's house is taken out, and all his stuff is taken out, and then they burn the house. They just leave it as a haunt of jackals. The stuff from the house of the Lord goes into the temples in Babylon to show how great Nebuchadnezzar and his team are, and the whole thing is a ruin. But, and this is the amazing thing, you think about this, the devastation that has come upon Israel at that time, the irredeemability of the situation they're in, and now look at chapter 39 and verse number 10. This is right when this is all happening, Jeremiah 39 verse 10. But some of the poorest people who had nothing, Nebuzaradan, the captain of the bodyguard, left behind in the land of Judah and gave them vineyards and fields at that time. Isn't that remarkable? Even at the worst point of Israel's history, there was a transfer of wealth going on. Isn't that remarkable? There's something, you'll always find a thread of the faithfulness of God running all the way through Scripture, no matter what they were doing. And it's funny, even at the peak of the miraculous, you'll always find a trace of man's idolatry and man's waywardness. In the book of Amos, there's a scripture it talks about. He says, I saw you when you were walking through the Red Sea, and you carried along your gods, Sikuth and all those kind of other gods. Even while they're walking through the Red Sea is parted by the great Jehovah, and they're carrying their gods in their bags and little like juju, little things. You understand? It's like so weird. And you'll find that thing all along. But all the way along, even in the most awful circumstance, you'll find the faithfulness of God through the thing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You imagine being one of those poor people sitting there and you're watching the king's house burn and you're watching the temple burn and you're thinking, oh my gosh, this is just devastating. I bet we're next. And the next thing he comes over to you and he says, now you, he says, you've obviously got nothing. You're no threat to us. See that vineyard over there that this other guy has labored 50, 60 years to gather up there? It's yours. Keep it. Give in to the poor. Ha! Even at that level. Even this God we serve, he's so big. Now you see, why wait to get the favor of God on your life, to have faith in the favor of God? Why wait for the most terrible circumstances to come? Why not start believing God now? Father, I know your favor is with a purpose. Lord, if you give me, and this is one of the things I love about guys like Anto. I saw the car that he was driving, that Peugeot. You remember that Peugeot? My goodness me. And he said, after we came back from Ghana, he said to the Lord, Lord, if you upgrade my car, in fact, you offered to take me in the Peugeot anywhere I was preaching. That got me praying. Praise God. Hallelujah. Yeah. And God, in no time, upgraded your car. No time at all. Lovely big white horse of a thing. And I saw a white horse, and he who sat on it was faithful and true. Praise Jesus. Why not believe God for some extraordinary level of favor, but it's for a purpose. It's for a purpose. It's not to make us look good. It's not to make us look great. No, it's for the greatness of our God. Would you stand to your feet this morning and just thank God for his word? I really believe that somebody under the sound of my voice has received something that can take you to the next level. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord God, we stand before you. Help us, Holy Spirit, to know how. To know the correct protocol of heaven. Enter his gates with thanksgiving. Enter his courts with praise. Come into his presence with joyful shouting. Come boldly before the throne of uncommon favor, that you may obtain mercy and a favor in a time of need. We thank you, Father, for your word to us today. Help us, Holy Spirit. Help us change our confession, Lord, that we carry your favor. We're not just miserable old sinners, Lord God, but we are favored ones, born of heaven. He who is born from above is above all. And we thank you for your favor, Lord God. Give us boldness in the area of favor, that we can shine for the world, that the world can know and see and understand what propels us into where they themselves would wish to be. We give you the glory, the honor, and the praise for it. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen and amen.